Welcome to the Giving Town Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Roberts, and my goal is to share stories of hope and generosity in our wonderful community of Newburgh. Today, I'm interviewing Ruby Ramirez. She's a service integration specialist with the Yamhill Community Care Service Integration Team, which, in a nutshell, works with other service providers to help people when no other solutions exist. So we'll be digging into what that looks like on today's show. This podcast is also sponsored by my real estate team, the Joyful Roberts Group. We're licensed brokers with Premier Property Group here in town, and I love serving this community. So if you know someone looking to buy or sell, I would be more than happy to take great care of them. I'm so honored for the opportunity to serve this community and to highlight so many of the amazing people and organizations here. So on that note, here is my conversation with Ruby.
Thank you, Ruby, for joining me today. I'm looking forward to talking more about this and getting the word out about service integration teams and how that works.
Thank you, Daniel, for having me.
So a little bit of background. So there's service integration teams that work in Yamhill County, but that are also focused on different cities, correct?
Correct.
But each city has its own, and you kind of oversee Yamhill County. But for Newburgh, since we're part of Yamhill County, we get some of that benefit.
Correct. Yep.
Awesome. So could you share a little bit about how the service integration team works and what its role is in providing services in Yamhill County?
Yeah. So there is 7 teams in Yamhill County, each centered along a school district catchment area. And our teams meet monthly at different locations within the school catchment areas. For Newburgh and Dundee, it's at the Chehalem Park and Rec Center, the district office. But of course, because of COVID, we're meeting via Zoom until who knows when. But we gather monthly to talk about the needs in the community, what resources are available, anything happening within the major players in the area. So, you know, Providence, Love Inc., any events that are happening. And then we have funding available through Yamhill Community Care and Yamhill County Health and Human Services. We have $25,000 as a combined total, and that is split between the 7 groups. And for Newburgh and Dundee specifically, we get $6,000 at the beginning of the year to use for any needs that arise during that time. But at our meetings, we also have presentations from different resources, and we have our monthly newsletter. We also get funding requests from different partner agencies in every location. And that's kind of, I think, the most important piece of my work is talking about funding available for our different communities and what things that we fund. So these funds are usually just a one-time thing, especially if people are experiencing a crisis maybe they didn't anticipate a need arising, but now they are in crisis looking for assistance. We can help with that, and we can help when there are no other options. Sometimes, you know, people reach out needing a vacuum or a car seat, and there's not a lot of resources for that. We can help there.
Okay. And so what does it look like if someone comes to you to help? Do people come to you directly looking for help, or how does that part work?
Sometimes they do, and my program works directly with agencies. However, if somebody calls me looking for assistance, I'm not going to turn them away. I can't self-refer them into my program for funding, but I can let them know what agencies I work with or what agencies may meet the need that they have that they express to me when they call me. So, you know, if the Trent, YCAP, et cetera.
Okay. So it sounds normally, though, like if there's a client that is a part of, say, YCAP, for example, and they're receiving help, but then they come into this need that YCAP doesn't cover, then YCAP might refer them to you or submit a funding request on their behalf?
Correct. That is exactly how that works.
Okay. So how does that typically work? So if you're sitting in your office, you get a call. What's an example of what that might look like?
So they'll, you know, if YCAP needs funding for assistance for a client, they'll call or email me and let me know if that is an appropriate request. And I'll let them know if yes or no, or if there's other resources that can assist if they haven't already listed that. And then if they have, they'll complete, I'll send them the link to our request form. They'll fill that out with the client. We ask general information as far as, you know, who the main contact in the family is, who the main contact in that organization they're working with, what the need is, what is the total cost of the need, who we would pay if the funding is approved, and then what other resources or services they're receiving or have access for this need. And then after that, I'll review everything, make sure that it looks good, and I can pass this on to our teams. Every community, like I said, has its own team. So if a request comes from the Newburgh area, I would send it to everybody that participates in the Newburgh group, and they would take a look at that and review all that information of the need. Of course, we redact all the personal information, so we don't share that out. And then if they approve, it's done through SurveyMonkey. They have 24 hours and they let me know yes or no. And then I inform the person that submitted the request. And okay. Then we go from there for payment.
Gotcha. Okay. So what's the background of how this got started? Because it's such a neat program where you know, it seems to fill a lot of the gaps that might arise in different services to make sure that people are covered when they need it. So how did this get started?
So this program started in Polk County originally. They've been going for almost 30 years, I believe. And a few partner agencies in Yamhill County were noticing that there was this gap missing between resources and services. And they saw Polk County, and they spoke with them about what was happening there and how cool it would be to have something like this in our community. Polk County was more than happy to share everything as far as, you know, how they got started, what the process looked like for us, what things needed to happen for us to be able to have this. And in 2015, I think fall 2015 is when we got started with our first service integration team meetings, and it just continued to grow after that.
Okay. And what are in the Newburgh area specifically, and I know you do all of Yamhill County, but I'll focus on the Newburgh part. What are the different organizations that you work with here in Newburgh?
We work with Love Inc. It's a major organization that we work with, the youth outreach through YCAP in Newburgh, the drop-in center, Providence, their broad program that works in the hospital and also in the schools. They're a big program. Portland Community College, there in the Newburgh area, we work with them as well. Trying to think who else. A lot of other partners service Newburgh and Dundee, they're in the back of my mind.
What does it look like, say, for Portland Community College? What kind of, how would that work? I'm just trying to think of if there's a student there and they have some kind of need, then the college can submit a request on their behalf if they're a student at the college?
Correct. Yeah, Fern, she's my main contact for Portland Community College, and she actually just sent me a question. So sometimes partners don't have a direct request to submit, but she said, hey, I have this student needing assistance with this. Can you direct me of how I should direct them on where to go or something like that? Yeah. So they needed housing, so I, you know, informed her the options that they had for housing assistance.
Gotcha.
But they could refer. If PCC had a student that needed something, they could refer them to us for assistance.
That's so interesting because I wonder how many students have no idea that that's even an option. And I don't know, do you ever run into that there's people who just don't know what they can ask for?
Yes, we do. Like I said, there's been a lot of change in Yamhill County with the pandemic and people starting employment in our area. And they always send me emails saying, hey, would this be an appropriate request? And We don't usually have a reason to turn requests away unless they're, you know, of course, promoting drug, alcohol, violence, things like that.
You get those requests?
Yeah, but I've never received any of those, but those would be some things that we would turn away.
Drug problem? Come
on. Yes. So we can help with anything. I think we've helped someone with a phlebotomy course at Chemeketa. That's in McMinnville. But we've helped them with that. You know, ODHS covered some of that, and we paid the remaining balance. We bought shoes, slice kits, laptops, car repairs, car parts, car seats, strollers, you name it. We probably have purchased it.
Wow. That's so crazy because, I mean, I do this podcast, and I think I might have told Liz Schrader, who introduced us, I said, I'm new to this podcast. I have no clue before then of what service integration teams were and how extensive it is. But how much, and you might have already mentioned this, but how much are you able to give on a like per person?
We can help with $300. That is our max cap. We don't have other organizations have a lifetime limit. Ours is not a lifetime limit. Okay. We do understand that things happen. So if somebody received assistance this year, maybe 2 years down the road, they needed assistance again, we could help if it's, you know, meets our criteria.
What? Now this is kind of a, just a thought I have, but many people that are struggling financially or are in difficult situations, many times it's chronic. So they're seeing the same problems over and over again. Do you ever come, I imagine though for you, it's like a one-time thing, but do you have any insight on for people who it kind of seems to be the same thing over, they're continually struggling to make their payments and bills? Do you get those requests and what do you typically do with those? Or
we have seen those requests. We usually, you know, I always have to make the hard decision to tell the requester that, you know, hey, we've received this request or we've seen this come two or three times already and we've already assisted them once. But maybe if somebody can work on budgeting with them and making a plan for sustainability. Because we do ask that the client or individual have a plan for sustainability. Of course, sometimes things happen and they can't stay within that plan. But if they can just refocus and revisit that plan whenever they can, that's kind of my suggestion for them.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I work at or volunteer at Love Inc., like I mentioned earlier, and it's always hard. You know, you want to be able to help. And some people are in really tough situations where there's things beyond their control. They've experienced extreme tragedy or loss or disability and maybe can't work, but there's certain expenses or they're not getting able to get disability or social security. It's always kind of interesting when you're into those, which is part of why I want to do this podcast and talk to people and say, what are the resources? And I think service integration teams is really a huge part of that, because if someone's able to get help somewhere else and they have a need, I think going to service integration teams and going to you would be a perfect, in many situations, at least one step of the way to get people back on the right track. Do you have any stories that you can think of where someone called, there maybe a client of someone that they got a hold of service integration teams and they were able to really positively impact their life? I always love stories. Wonder.
Yeah. Recently, we actually had someone new join service integration. She's from the Willamette ESD, which is the Willamette Education Service District agency. And so she just acquired the Yamhill County side of things. And so she's familiar with Polk County, Marion County resources. And she's like, hey, I know you do service integration. And can you help me with this client who just received a 10-day eviction notice? And so I gave her a list of who to, you know, contact for assistance. Of course, YCAB was on that list among other organizations. And she had the client call these places and nobody was getting back to her. And she's like, you know, the days are getting closer. to her eviction date. And I said, okay, since I know that you've tried and the client has tried to contact these places, submit a service integration request form, and then we can try to find other resources. I work with the Give a Little Foundation. They serve Yamhill County, and they work with agencies only, and I'm part of one of those agencies that they work with. And so I reached out to them. They said, yes, we can assist with funding. And then the mom, then the client from WSD, she also reached out to a church out in Tigard. And so that was new to me because I didn't know that they helped people out in Yamhill County. But they did assist her with $150. And then mom provided some funding. And so we were able to come up with $985. Wow. So that the mom could, you know, stay in her home. And I think the reason why she didn't have funding was because her job closed for 10 days. And so she wasn't bringing in income during that time. And so when she started working again, however, you know, it was mm-hmm. going to be a while for her next full paycheck.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Well, it's such a good example of how our community as a whole in Yamhill County and really even broader than that can come together and help people when in their times of need. And that to me is what's so exciting and why I appreciate being here. And just, it's nice knowing how many people there are that love helping, how many organizations that just do amazing things. So I'm curious for you, Ruby, why did you start out with service integration teams?
So a little background for me is, you know, I studied community health education. I went to Western Oregon. And when I love helping people. I have different volunteer experience. And I was working at the hospital doing OHP enrollment. And then somebody that I knew said, hey, we have an opening with the health services department here at Yamhill Community Care. And then I work directly one-on-one doing the other side of the work that I do now. I was trying to find resources for people, you know, trying to do the best that I can to help them meet their needs. And so then an opening came up, which was this position available. And I said, you know what? Now I want to be the one that's able to say yes and meeting those needs. And mm-hmm. So I applied. I got the position, and so I've been doing this for a little over 2 years, but I love it. I love working with people. I love giving them ideas of where to send their clients if they don't know, or sometimes when I do have time, because I'm really busy managing this whole program by myself, I can sometimes find things. So if a client just needs an item, like a vacuum or something, I will try to find that before I send it to the team. So that way, okay. If I can find it donated, then that means we can save that money that we would have used for that need for something else.
Yeah. That's kind of an example of you actually taking pride in what you do and actually wanting to help. So what has been the most, I guess, enjoyable part of what you do?
I think building connections with different agencies. I received a lot of feedback this last year saying that agencies feel connected more so than ever. Mm-hmm. I partly attribute it to COVID and having to, you know, be tightly connected to help our clients. But some people attribute it to me partly that I do a good job in my work and that I keep everyone engaged and involved and wanting to keep coming to our meetings. So yeah. I accept that comment that they give me.
What's something that maybe was surprising to you that you've learned along the way since you got started, maybe even from your education background, but that you kind of were surprised by or maybe, yeah, that was unexpected that you know now?
Ooh, that is a good question. Well, on a personal note, I didn't know that I'd have to be doing accounting. that's not in my plans to do. But I have to keep track of all the expenditures and money that comes in and, you know, when certain things are due and need to be paid. So that's been interesting on a personal note, but I think on like a professional level that I already knew the people that I'm currently working with. It just, I think just stepping into this role, you know, I grew up in this community, so I know all these resources and all these people, mm-hmm. but I feel like I wasn't as connected as I am now. And it's because of the work that I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how, you know, you mentioned the accounting side, and I think that is one of the hardest things that everything takes money. Everything is, it's got dollar signs behind it, and we wish we could help every person. But you know, sometimes I mean, like what we mentioned with those, like with the people who are kind of in the same, like chronic, chronic issues where they keep having the same thing happen over and over. It can be really hard not to be able to just continue to help when you have like, you know, the budget side of things. So, otherwise the whole $25,000 budget might go to one person.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting thing too. I mean, just in the, cause you guys are all government funded and there's always that balance of the taxpayers not wanting to pay money and then realizing, oh, like, but there's actually a lot of people who need help. So that kind of tension there. Is there any area that you can see in whether it's in your team or just with the different organizations that you work for as a whole that you could see that you wish could change or that could be improved, and not like in like saying something bad about them, but like what's something that you maybe hope for the future that might happen?
Hope for the future, which are things, you're touching on things that there's a plan in the works. Just, I mean, we're in the baby process of trying to expand our program, especially mm-hmm. financially. So definitely internally, we want to increase the funding available, but also mm-hmm. being able to increase that max $300 because it only goes so far. But if we can, you know, maybe even up to $400 or $500. And then if we have more funding, we can be able to serve more people. I really want to engage the business community. I think it would be great to have a partner, you know, if in Dundee, a lot of people are having to get their car repaired, that I can have a business that can do, you know, free estimates for us, or, you know, some sort of discount or some sort of, you know, thing that I'll send all my Newburgh referrals out there because that's the partnership that we have. Mm-hmm. So things like that. And then, we're working to see if we can implement a neighbor-to-neighbor fund. So it's still in the planning stages. You know, I don't even know if that will be a thing. Yeah. But we're, you know, different businesses, different community members, maybe they have $5 to donate. Maybe they have a $500 grant that they're like, hey, you know, we're looking for a nonprofit, that they can put money into this this fund. And then as I'm getting requests, if something is outside of the $300 range, but we have money there, that I can take money from that and cover and meet the full need or something like that. Yeah. So those are things that we're barely planning, trying to see if they, you know, they'll work, but I mm-hmm. definitely want to increase the reach that this program has.
Yeah. What are some ways, if any, that community members, can get involved or help get the word out about something? Do you see anything there where people could help in that way?
I'm always posting on Facebook, especially in specific communities, if there's a need. Like recently, there was a need from DHS. They needed a bike and a trailer so that mom can transport herself and her child to daycare and to work. And so I posted, this was specifically in the McMinnville Community Discussions page. So I posted that, and I received community feedback, and that was donated. And like I said, we didn't have to buy that. And so that was really great. So if people can look out for those posts, I might even talk to our communications department and see if that's something we can post within our page. But if they can follow our YEMHELP Community Care Facebook page, and just watch out for posts from Ruby Ramirez on Facebook for needs, that would be great. Or they can reach out to me via email if they have anything that they, you know, hey, if anybody ever calls or, you know, reaches out about a bike or something like that, that they would like to donate, that would be great.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And do you have anything that you'd like to end with, or something that you think would be good for people to know?
There's a lot of funding available, in Polk and Yamhill County, and they just have to, I think, if they work with any agency, that they just communicate what their needs are, because they may not know that whoever they're working with knows about these resources and can, you know, help them or connect them with people that can meet their need.
So maybe something would be just for people of the community to know that this is a resource that exists, because I think, like we said before, you don't know what you don't know. And if there's someone in need, maybe all someone needs to do is ask if they're already involved in an organization. If you have a need, ask.
Yes.
Which is kind of like an interesting life lesson that I'm still learning, is when to ask for things. You never know what you'll get until you ask.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much, Ruby. It was great talking to you, learning about what you do, service integration teams. If you're listening to this episode, share this with someone who you think would be, who might be interested, for someone who cares about our community, who wants to make a difference, is committed to its success. That's really who this podcast is for, so that we as a community can just be aware of all the amazing resources like this that exist. So thank you for listening. And again, thank you, Ruby, and look forward, hopefully, to touching base sometime again soon.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I hope you enjoyed learning about the service integration teams from Ruby. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to spread the word about all the great things happening here in Newburgh, share this podcast, whether it's on your social media or if you text it to a friend. But join so many of the people who I'm so grateful for are sharing this podcast, and I'm just so honored that we're able to do what we're doing to spread the good news here. So again, this podcast is sponsored by my real estate team, the Joyful Roberts Group. And if you reach out, I would be happy to help you with any of your real estate needs, or just talk about the market and whatever questions you might have. Well, thanks for tuning in, and I will see you next time.